verse 19 and 20 is where we're going to get our text tonight. We've been preaching through a back to the basics type Bible study, been going through why we believe what we believe, and going through scripture just so we can use it kind of as a discipleship help. I believe that church is more than just being preached at. You ought to be taught to know the things of the Bible so that when you come across somebody out there, you're able to help them along the way to understand why we believe what we believe and what the Bible teaches about certain things. We talked about what salvation, what happened when we got saved, how we did not lose our flesh nature, but we just gained a spirit nature, and how we have to continue to feed that and control that. And then we talked about how our salvation is settled by God. Once we get saved, He's the one that keeps us. Therefore, we can't lose it. The Bible says it's eternal life, and they shall never perish. And we talked about that. Then we talked about what the Bible teaches about baptism, and what a blessing it's been to see people getting baptized recently. And Lindsay got baptized, and then Juan, and then Josh and Gabe, all of them got baptized. And what a blessing it is to see God working and people obeying the Lord in baptism and things. But we're going to speak to you tonight on the topic of the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray quickly. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the day that you've given to us. Lord, bless this lesson. We ask you, please, would you speak to our hearts? Teach us, Lord, to know the truths of your word. Lord, we love you and thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. The Holy Spirit, there's questions that are asked about the Holy Spirit. What are the functions and the attributes of the Holy Spirit in my life? What does the Holy Spirit do? Why did God leave us that Comforter, that Holy Spirit? What are His functions? What are His attributes to me and you as believers? And we're going to talk about those things, what the Bible teaches. The day that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God took up residency inside your body. This third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, is one of the most misunderstood or most ignored of the three in the Trinity. You say, what are you talking about? Most of the time, we look at them as a totem pole type rank. That the Holy Spirit is here, and then God the Son is here, and then God the Father is here. But that is not the case. They are actually equal, co-equal. They are God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we'll talk about these things and what the Holy Spirit of God does in our life, what His purpose is, what He does in an individual life. First off, where do we find the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit lives on earth inside of our body if you're saved. He came into you the moment that you got saved, that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He took up permanent residency inside of you. Our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you. It says, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. When you got saved and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God then took up residency inside of you. Therefore, you have been grafted into God's family. You have been placed here by the blood of Jesus Christ in a new birth by the Spirit of God, who has sealed you until the day of redemption. So now you are part of God's family because of the work of Jesus Christ in your life and the Holy Spirit living inside of you. This is a definitive passage of Scripture which talks about the Holy Spirit of God and where He lives. We talked about that He's inside of us. A lot of people say, well, how can the Holy Spirit live inside of you? He's God. He's God. Well, I never feel Him. Listen, if He lives inside of you, you ought to feel Him every once in a while. You do that when you get in the Word of God. You start singing about the Lord, reading about His Word. Something just happens inside of you with the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But the fact of the matter is, there's other verses we can look at. Take your Bibles to John chapter number 14. Remember, this is more of teaching type lessons. John chapter number 14, we're going to try to help you. And I'm glad that we have the Word of God to learn. There's many religions out there that just base off of man's philosophy. And that is not what Tabernacle Baptist Church stands on. We stand on the Word of God. It's not about man's opinion. It's not about man's philosophy. It's about what God says in His Word. And so I want you to look at John chapter number 14 and look at verse number 17. says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See what the Bible says of where he is? It said, we dwelleth with you and is in you. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Preacher, why so much scripture? Because I want you to see what the Bible says about it. It's not just pastor's words, it's God's words on what he teaches about this. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse 21 and 22, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through what? The Spirit. So, according to the Bible, where do I find the Holy Spirit? Where? Inside the believer. That's where we find the Holy Spirit. So, let me ask you a question. There's a lot of people that say, well, I have a hard time understanding the Bible. Who is the author of the Bible? God. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes, he is. Co-equal, co-existent. So if you have the author of the book living inside of you, why is it difficult to understand? And here's what I'll say. Because you don't study it. Because you don't research it. You don't look into it. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So where do I find the Holy Spirit? He lives inside of us. But what is the function of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me? What is the function of the Holy Spirit in my life? Firstly, I want you to see the job of the Holy Spirit inside of man, or the job of the Holy Spirit is, firstly, he convicts us of sin. He convicts us of sin. John chapter 16. John chapter number 16. John chapter 16, verse number 8 and 9. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. See what he's talking about the Spirit? And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. Guess what? He convicts us of sin. He has to convict us. That's what he's here for, is to convict us of sin. If in an unsaved person, he convicts them of sin and brings them to salvation. That's the purpose of it. He will convict or draw men to God, convict them of their sin, so that they will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is the purpose of that. That's what he does in the life of the unsaved person. But in the saved person, he convicts us of sin, not to save us, because we've already been saved by the faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he convicts us of sin to keep us clean and to show us how to live for Jesus. That's what he convicts us of. He convicts us of sin to help keep us clean. You know why? Because when we are a child of God, when we're saved, we're not supposed to live like the world. But we still have two natures, a sin nature and a spirit nature. So the spirit nature ought to be led by the Spirit. Okay? That's difficult, isn't it? The spirit nature ought to be led by the Spirit, and that's why God has placed him inside of us, is that he convicts us of sin. Not once we're saved, he doesn't convict us to get us saved again. He convicts us to keep us clean and serving the Lord the way that we ought to. Now, if you're lost in here today, the Holy Spirit of God does not live inside of you, but yet he draws you to salvation so that he can take up residence inside of you. But once you get saved, he lives inside of you. You become the temple of God, and he convicts you of sin to keep you clean and teach you how to live for Jesus Christ. You must understand the difference between conviction, though, and guilt. There's a difference. Conviction is God pointing out something that is wrong that you can make right. Look at Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That's what conviction does. Conviction points out something that is wrong, sin. "Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow," talks about so that it can be made right. Guilt is the devil accusing you of being unworthy to receive God's blessing. There's a difference. Conviction is to bring you to getting that wrong right. Guilt is something the devil places on you to make you think that you're unworthy of God's forgiveness. That's the difference. People can be guilty and feel guilty of their sin, but that's not convicting them to do right. It's trying to keep them down so that they don't get right. Look what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12. I hope you don't mind using your Bibles. We're trying to learn some things tonight. Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation 12 and verse 10 says this, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." That accuser is the one that brings the guilt, that makes us think this: I can't get right with God because I'm unworthy. If ever you're feeling unworthy of God's forgiveness, guess what? It's Satan telling you that you can't do things for God. The Holy Spirit's telling you this: get it right so that you can walk in the new life with Christ, so that you can experience the joy of your salvation. See, when we get saved, it does not mean that we lose our sin nature, but when we do sin, there's a separation from God, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not to tell us, hey, you can't ever do anything for God anymore. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is to point out that wrong, that try to help cleanse us so that we can get right and have a clear conscience before God. That's what it's for. When he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what is the Holy Spirit's job? He convicts us of sin. He helps us. He brings the lost people. He tries to convict them unto salvation. The saved, he convicts us to keep us clean and help us to live for the Lord. Not only does he convict of sin, but the Holy Spirit, look what he creates and regenerates. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter number 1. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit was present in creation? I do. You know why? The Bible says it. Genesis 1, verse number 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light." Now, this is a very intriguing passage of Scripture because everywhere you slice the Bible, it points to salvation, no matter where you cut it. I've heard people say, well, you know what, it's just redundant. And by the way, I used to be guilty of this, Brother Miller, when I heard the story of creation my whole life, and I used to say, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, or just tried to speed up through it, never tried to get anything out of it. But I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God does a work through his word. I was reading it one day, and I want to show you something cool out of Genesis if you've not seen this before. Genesis chapter number 1. In creation, what the Holy Spirit's evidence was, his job, what God has told him to convict us and draw us from darkness to light. Look what the Bible says. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light." Now let me ask you a question. Had sun, moon, and stars been created yet? No. So, God, being God, could have just said this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. But before he said, let there be light, he said one phrase, Brother Doug, the Spirit of God moved. And that's a picture of what has to take place in your life and my life and our lost condition, separated from God in the darkness and depravity of sin. Without the Spirit of God moving upon my life and your life, there is no light that can come. And so you understand, in the very first two verses of the Bible, he shows us the principle of salvation. And then he says, God divided light from darkness. So he shows a separation. You know, he was there to add creation. You can also see it in Job 33. We're not going to turn there for sake of time. The Holy Spirit is active in creation. And Jesus Christ, listen, you are a new creature born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Look what it says in John chapter 3. John chapter number 3. Starting in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You know, without the Spirit of God, you could not be saved, and I could not be saved. He creates new life. You understand? The Holy Spirit does that. He creates and regenerates. The Holy Spirit seals you once you're saved. I'm glad for that. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God seals you once you're saved. You know what? I would be doomed and destined for hell over and over and over and over and over again if I had to keep myself saved. If I was the one that had to do it all myself, I'd be doomed and destined for hell. But man, I'm glad. Miss Lisa would too, because she likes cats. I'm telling you. She'd be over and over and over and over and over again. I'm telling you, that's wicked, vile stuff. But the fact is, if any one of us tried to keep ourselves saved, it wouldn't help us. But I'm glad that the Holy Spirit seals us once we are saved. Look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. Sorry, Miss Lisa, couldn't help it. Ephesians chapter number 1. I had to start picking on Miss Lisa a little more because Brother Coggins was getting upset that I was picking on him a lot. And so he sent me a private message and said, can you please start picking on Miss Lisa more? And it's really hurting his feelings. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 13 and 14. Look what it says. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of a purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, according to those verses, who's the one that seals you? The Holy Spirit. Can he lose anything? No, because he's who? God. You're learning. Great. And since he can't lose anything, can he lose our salvation? No, he can't. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. If those two verses aren't good enough for you, now look at Ephesians chapter 4. And verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. See what it says? Whereby who? The Spirit of God. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. So what is the function of the Holy Spirit? He convicts of sin. He creates and regenerates. the Holy Spirit seals you once you're saved. I love this one. The Holy Spirit bears witness with you of your salvation. You know why I know I'm saved, Brother Doug? Because the Holy Spirit bears witness with me. Once I've trusted Him, He lives inside of me. He bears witness with me. Look what the Bible says. 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 13. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, actually go to verse 12 so you can see it here. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. He hath given us of His Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You see what it said there? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know why I can be confident in my salvation, Brother Nick? Because the Spirit bears witness with me, giving me that confidence to know that I am the child of God. Once I'm saved, He's living inside of me. He bears witness with my spirit. When His word is preached, He bears witness with my spirit, and He teaches me that I am the child of God because I've trusted Him as my Savior. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches you the Bible. We talked about Him being the author of the book, and He lives inside of you. You know, the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches you the Bible. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter number 14. I'm thanking the Lord for the Holy Spirit, thanking Jesus for leaving us that Comforter, that Holy Spirit to teach us. In His physical absence, He's left us the Spirit to teach us. We have the Word of God, which shows us things, but in our fleshly minds, there'd be no way for us to comprehend the Word of God. So the Spirit of God then bears witness with our spirit, and He teaches us His Word. Look what it says in John chapter 14 and verse number 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, we're not talking about a blanket, okay, a comforter. We're talking about the Comforter, the one who comforts you, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you some things. Is that what it said? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us all things when we're saved. When we're concerning the things of God and righteousness and all of these, the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us all things. It's very important to walk with the Spirit of God, to talk with Him, to spend time with Him, to get into the Word and allow Him to teach us. He desires to do that. That's what He was brought here for. That's what His job in the Trinity is. Is not only to draw us to salvation, but to convict us of sin, to keep us right, but to teach us how to serve God and what to do. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things to come. He shall glorify Me, and He shall receive Mine, for He shall receive of Mine, and He shall show it unto you. It said, the Spirit of truth is come, and He will guide you into all truth. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So how do we find the truth? How do we know what truth is? The Holy Spirit teaches us what is truth, and He guides us in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. I know there's a lot of information to take in, but jot down notes, learn some of these things. The Holy Spirit is very active in the Christian life. He's very vital in our life because He's here. By the way, Jesus is not physically walking around on this earth anymore. He was crucified, buried, rose again, ascended into the clouds. He's there making intercession for you and I, Jesus Christ on the right hand of the Father, but He's preparing a place for us. Remember what He said? I go to prepare a place for you. And the Holy Spirit, He left here so that we could continue to learn and know what to do and be guided in our Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, look at verse number 9 and verse 10. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto him by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So wait a second. The things that we could not understand, the things that I can't understand, that you can't understand according to the Bible, God says the Spirit is here to teach us those things, even the deep things. Those things that we think, my soul, how could I ever understand this? By the way, I can't understand how a God who is perfect can love a sinner. I can't understand that. But God in His great love, wherewith He loved us, is far different than you and I. His ways are above ours. His thoughts are above ours. And God, even though He's perfect, even though He's holy, loved you and loved me so much that He was willing to take our place on the cross. I don't understand that. But the Holy Spirit draws us to it. The Holy Spirit shows us. I don't understand how God could part the waters and the whole Israelite army could walk across on dry land. I don't understand how that could happen except for a miracle of God. But the Holy Spirit teaches us about faith and how the impossible things can happen with God. And He teaches us all these things, the deep things that you and I could never comprehend in and of ourselves. The Holy Spirit's here to help teach us those things so that we can be what God wants us to be. Another thing about the Holy Spirit, what He does in His function for us, it's He intercedes in prayer for you. Isn't that a blessing? That He intercedes in prayer for you. Look at Romans 8 again. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Have you ever been to the place in your life where you just didn't know what to pray? You ever been there? You ever been there in your life, Brother Nick, where you just didn't know how to ask God or what to say to God? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit knows what we should pray for and intercedes on our behalf when we don't know what to say. He prays on our behalf for us. Isn't that a blessing? That the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we can't say anything, when we don't know what to say, our heart's so heavy, we don't even know how to speak it, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. What a blessing. What a blessing. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Listen, we're supposed to pray the will of God for our life. Sometimes when we don't know what to say, Brother Miller, the Holy Spirit just speaks God's will for us. Isn't that a blessing? I thank God for the Holy Spirit who intercedes for me in prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Starting in verse 13, look what it says. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in him of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You know why it's so important for the Holy Spirit of God? Because that is the channel whereby I have access to God. The Holy Spirit is where the channel where I have access to God. I'm glad for the Holy Spirit and His work. I'm glad for He intercedes for us in prayer. The Holy Spirit comforts you in time of need. Another function of the Holy Spirit. He comforts you. That's why He was called the Comforter. He's the one that comforts you in time of need. Look at John chapter number 14. Look what it says in John chapter number 14, starting in verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He gave us a comforter so that we weren't left alone. Because you know what the Bible says about children? We're a child of God. There's a verse that says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And so you can fit that in with the child of God. A child left to himself would bring God to shame. That's why he leaves us a comforter, to convict us of sin, to convict us of wrong, to help us and to guide us and to comfort us in times of need. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So wait a second. Why do trials happen in the life of a believer? Why? Here's why. Because the Comforter, who gives help to you and I, allows us to go through this so that we can in turn help others by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. The whole gist of that is so He gets the glory, not you and not me. That's why things happen. We have trials so that God can show Himself to us. We have trials, other people have trials, so that God, who has helped us in certain areas, we can go out and help others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1. in verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy was in a distraught state in his life in this. Nero, that bloodthirsty emperor king, was about to destroy everybody who claimed the name of Jesus. Timothy was the preacher of the church at Ephesus, a very vocal person for God. He was afraid, so he wrote his mentor, Paul, what am I going to do? I'm afraid. And Paul writes back to him and he says, listen, I'm going to comfort you in something that I've dealt with already. God had not given us a spirit of fear. Fear comes from the devil. That kind of fear. Now, we're supposed to have a reverential fear of God. We ought to have that fear. By the way, we ought to fear God enough to do right. But the fear that we have, that doubt, defeat, discouragement, all that, that comes from Satan. That fear. And he said, God hath not given us that, but of power. The Bible said in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we have access to the power of God through the Spirit of God. And of love, the love that only can come through the Spirit of God in our life for others. But it says, of a sound mind, the mind that we get in the book of Philippians, it said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's what God gave to you and I through the Spirit. And Paul was trying to teach young Timothy this, just trust in the Spirit of God who lives inside of you. Walk in His ways. Do what He says, and He'll help you along the way. He comforts us. Lastly tonight, the Holy Spirit empowers you to serve God. We already talked about the power that comes in Acts 1:8. He empowers you to serve God. Take your Bible to the book of Zechariah. Not trying to trick anybody. Deacons, that is in the Bible. All right, Zechariah. I didn't say Hezekiah. I did that one time, teasing people. I said, turn your Bibles to Hezekiah chapter 5. And I kid you not, the deacons were looking. So hopefully you guys know Zechariah's in there, amen. Zechariah chapter number 4. Verse number 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So how are they gonna accomplish things? How are they gonna make it through? It's not by our strength, not by our power, not by, I don't care how much weight you can lift, we're no match for Satan. It said, but through His Spirit is what helps us. He empowers us to serve God. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. See what it says? What the Spirit's job, His function in you and I is to empower us to serve God? That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Last verse tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're not going to finish this lesson, but for time's sake, I believe we're going to stop here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So where's the power come from in the Christian life? How can I, Brother Coggins, do the work for God that I'm supposed to do? How can I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? How at the end of my time can I say I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith? Oh, because I had the most degrees in the church, right? No. Because I was the best orator out there? No. By the power of God, through His Spirit, in my life and yours. Holy Spirit plays a big part in the Christian life. But if you're in here tonight and you're lost, guess what? He plays a big part in your salvation because he draws men and convicts them of sin and leads them to salvation. And if you're here and you're not saved tonight, guess what the Holy Spirit of God's doing? He's telling you your need of salvation tonight. Because without the Spirit of God drawing us, we can't be saved. He has to draw us. But once you get saved, the good part about it, once you trust Him as your Savior through the Holy Spirit's drawing, once you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you. He seals you into the day of redemption, and then He helps you to live the Christian life and empowers you and prays for you and does all these things, teaches you the Word of God. All these things, without Him, we would be lost. And so, the function of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to talk about what is the result of the Holy Spirit in my life. Not just what are His functions, but what is the result of having Him in our life. And we'll talk about some of these things and talk about the fruits of the Spirit that come out once you're walking with Him and doing those things that God wants you to do. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You for the day. Thank You for all that You've done. Lord, I pray that You use this message to help folks tonight. Lord, I know it was more of a teaching type lesson, but Lord, I pray that You'll help people to understand, Holy Spirit of God, help.